Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
To Brandon for our Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, PA, SLA, SLAA, CRRR, MMDRA, HA, DRA.
What's SLAA?
Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous.
In Canada?
I don't know. One, yeah.
Sex and Love AA.
God, one of my favorite movies ever back in the day, Strange Brew. Hey, there's a mouse in my beer, eh? They put a mouse in the beer bottle in hopes to get free beer.
Hey.
Doug and John McKenzie or whatever. Yeah. We don't speak for any of them. They're guys. We don't speak for Bob and Doug McKenzie either. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Speak for
although
yourself.
We spoke a lot during the last show.
Oof.
It was a show that never ends. It goes on and on, my friends. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always with...
Shelly B.
And Mark M.
Wow. That just had a reaction on Shelly's eardrums. Okay.
I have a dog whistle in the car. We'll see what happens.
Oh, my God. You have 16 dogs and Shelly at your car door. Yeah, Shelly's ear will go up. She'll tilt her head to the side. So, it's spring. Spring has sprung.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear people in other parts of the country still talking about it being pretty cold, but it should be starting to get good now.
Oh, a week ago, my friend in Iowa was like, she's so defeated, and she's like, it's snowing again. Damn.
Did you ever hear seen it or gotten an email about it in the past where the guy's talking about his experience? He's moved to, like, Connecticut or something. He's in one of these small towns, and he goes, oh, my God, the fresh air here is awesome. He goes, you know what? It snowed last night. He goes, you know how great it is to wake up in the morning and look out and see the snow? He goes, it was awesome. And he says, oh, man, it snowed 2 feet last night, and they call this snow day. I can't get into work today. I'm going to take my kids, you know, tobogganing up the hill in the back.
I'm going to learn to paint.
And he goes, I'm going to shovel my driveway. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I haven't been out there in the fresh air like that shovel for a while. Felt great. And he goes, snowed again last night. He goes, it's all right. It's about a foot and a half. He goes, went out and shoveled the driveway again. He goes, wow, I'm really going to get healthy. I'm really going to get healthy doing this. And then he goes, snowed another foot and a half last night. The regular snow plows aren't going to come down our street, so we're going to shovel our driveways, but we're still not sure we can get out. He says, this may be a little more tedious than I thought. And he says, you know, it frickin' snowed again last night. He goes, no snow plows running. He goes, won't matter if I shovel the driveway. He says, wife's getting a little pissed having me at home right now. He goes, goddamn, snowed another 3 feet last night. Yeah. And by the end, he's like, my wife left. You know, he goes, I got nothing left in the house but beer.
Yeah.
I'm drinking every day. She took the kids.
She'd have left me if she could have gotten out.
She took the kids with snowshoes. They took off trekking. By the time he's done with it, he's like, ready to commit suicide.
It's like watching a winter version of Grizzly Man.
Yeah. I saw an image that said, my favorite thing about winter in California is watching it on TV.
Yes.
Because you know us.
Yeah.
We keep our snow where it belongs.
Yeah, in the mountains.
In the mountains, where we can stop and visit if we'd like to.
Where from certain angles from the beach we can see it.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. That so cracks me up. Because these guys have their microphones turned way up so they don't have to talk very loud. And Shelly's just like, it looks fine on the EQ board here. First story, and we don't have too many this time. Fran, our number one Fran, Frantastic, sent this in. He was confessing that his recent arrest for public intoxication in a Canadian casino was his wake-up call during a segment of Ellen DeGeneres' show.
Who?
And he revealed he hasn't had a drop of alcohol since his embarrassing arrest last month at a Canadian casino. He said, that was a nice going-away party, and I'm the new George now sitting here in front of you.
George who?
George Lopez. He's a comedian.
Okay.
Hispanic comedian.
Funny guy.
He says, well, this is a quote from him. Well, Ellen, she asked him, how you been doing lately, George? And he says, well, Ellen, recently I lifted myself off the casino floor in Canada. Lopez told her good-naturedly, you know how they always say whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? He goes, apparently whatever happens in Canadian casinos, everybody knows. And he passed out on the floor, and police subsequently arrested him in Canada.
Sorry,
he told the cops he was trying to go to his hotel room. He just missed it by 35 floors. He goes, unfortunately, I didn't miss the floor of the casino.
At all.
At all. And he said, he says, they told me, sir, this behavior cannot continue.
No,
and if it does, we would be honored if you would become the mayor of Toronto.
Oh.
Yeah, they were talking about Rob Ford, who had recently admitted to use crack for one of his drunken stupors.
That guy's just a party every day.
Who?
Rob Ford.
Who's Rob Ford?
The mayor of Toronto.
Oh, right, right, right. Yes.
Lopez said the problem was the casino carpet was so loud. So I was having trouble sleeping on it. How can you sleep on a carpet like that? It was so loud. And guys were betting on whether I would get up or not. They're rolling dice across my belly. He said one person came by and said, I didn't know the dog whisperer drank that much. Referring to Cesar Millan. He goes, you know, just because Mexicans invented tequila doesn't mean we can handle it any better. He goes, and an interesting side thing, I found out I was a much bigger Justin Bieber fan than I thought.
Hey, you saw somebody pass out on the floor recently.
Oh, my goodness.
I got one, too, so go ahead.
This is a few days ago, a couple weeks ago. We were at Easter brunch, and I'm in there looking. I'm just doing the scout around to see what they've got, and it's a great brunch. They've got all-you-can-eat sushi. They've got all-you-can-eat crab legs. They've got all-you-can-eat prime rib. I mean, nice place. So I'm walking through, and a lot of this is all set up in the bar area. And as I'm walking through, and damn, if I had my phone, this would be a fail video of all time. This guy is standing there next to the bar, and he kind of gets that wobbly look to him, and he falls straight over. I mean, from standing straight up to on his back on the floor. And his buddy, all helpful, says, that just happened. It's really loud in a drunk way. That just happened.
And this was at, like, 1 in the afternoon.
And he's like, bro, come on, man. You got to get up the floor, man. It's not like we're in high school anymore. And the thing is, this guy fell directly between two gigantic tables of food. If he had fallen this way, he probably would have gotten hot syrup all over him from the Belgian waffle bar. Mm-hmm. And if he had gone the other way, there would have been
no seafood.
Literally hundreds of dollars of crab and sushi all over the floor. So I'm talking to the guys at the that make the omelets, and they're outside. And I said, oh, my God, did you see that guy that fell over? And they go, yeah, man, he hit his head off the concrete. And I'm like, he fell over out here, too? And they're like, what, did he fall over inside? I go, I think that's why he got – and you should have seen all the managers show up on this guy. They had him under the shoulders helping him out the door. Like, could not wait to get him off the property.
You have to leave.
They were staying in the hotel there, so they didn't have to worry about him driving. Now, what happened with your guy?
Last night, I'm at an event, and across the street from where we are, we're waiting to open the doors for this event, and we're inside, and across the street, there's this woman, attractive, 6 foot tall, easy.
Had she been in line at Walmart with Shelly?
4.5 feet of its legs.
Yeah.
She's in a short white dress.
Awesome. And her legs go all the way up, don't they?
Yes. And I'm watching because it caught my attention.
I don't know why.
Catch my attention.
6 feet tall and 4 feet of legs.
Yeah.
And were they nice legs?
They were.
Okay.
And I'm watching, and all of a sudden, I turned away for a moment, and I turned back around, and she's laying face first on the sidewalk.
Ooh, ow.
Yikes.
And now, she rolls over, and she's trying to get up, but she's picking her feet up first instead of her body up first. So it's not working out well for her.
And the short dress is...
And the short dress is around her waist. And
nice.
Thongs or panties?
Thongs.
Wow.
And she's thrashing about on the sidewalk. She gets up. She's staggering.
I can see a couple of guys walk by and go, look, someone threw away a perfectly good white girl.
She sits down in a chair next to an older woman who she's there with. And the older woman is talking to her. And she's talking to the woman, and she starts nodding her head so vigorously she tips the chair over.
The older woman?
No.
Oh.
Same girl. She's on the ground again. She's trying to get up. People are stopping down the sidewalk and pointing and talking. Mm. The woman she's with, I'm watching this. Now, by this time, I've got three other guys watching with me. And I said, you have to realize that woman's trying to talk her into going to a recovery home because she's not even reacting every time this girl is out of the chair and on the ground. She's like just waiting for her to
get back up.
Oh, and she's like, so
it's her sponsor.
Then she hands her a drink of something. She takes the drink and proceeds to yak it all up.
Oh.
So this just lost its attractiveness to me.
Wow.
But I'm watching this, and this is on a main street. And people are just walking
by. Next time? Get out the phone and take the video.
Oh, I should have shot it, but I was
fail.
Just like, it was so funny to watch.
If you ever want to watch something really funny, go on YouTube and watch up Drunk Fails.
Oh, yeah.
I'd always wondered what the Black Velvet girl looked like after she'd actually had the Black Velvet.
She looked a lot like this girl that was across the street.
I'm betting so, yes.
From Fran, hero of the week.
Oh, I knew
how many heroes do we have to have?
Hero of the week.
The kazoo is killing me because it vibrates.
Quirky world. In England, a crime-fighting parrot has saved his owner after she was pushed to the ground in a park.
Does the parrot have a cape?
Onesie, the African gray, was being taken for a walk and a fly in Sunningfields Park, North London, when his female owner was grabbed by the shoulders and shoved. He flapped his wings and squawked, attacking the attacker. As the guy started running towards the Great North Road, the parrot apparently pursued and was getting him in the head.
Parrot will beat your ass.
And It returned back, but PC Chris Cutmore from Colindale Police Station said this was a random attack on a woman walking out of a park. Although the pair of onesie came to a rescue, we're obviously very keen to trace the suspect and prevent him from attacking anyone else. So apparently, you know, they need to find the guy with the really messed up hair.
Yeah.
Or the claw marks.
And the beak pecking out of his skull.
He said, I would encourage anyone who may have witnessed this incident and saw a man running being attacked by a parrot to please call the local police.
Onesie, part parrot, part miniver, said, it was Joe.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the dead parrot sketch.
Fran is on a roll. Again from Fran. Marijuana vending machines unveiled in Colorado.
Yes.
It had to happen.
Yes.
It dispenses pot for medicinal, not recreational use.
Of course.
Right.
Marijuana vending machine debuted in Colorado over the weekend. Denver Post marijuana news blog The Cannabist reports. Apparently, the Denver News has a blog called The Cannabist.
Of course.
Called Zazz. Z-A-Z-Z-Z. It's made by a company called American Green. Leave it to the Americans to be up there with vending machines for weed. Will be installed in a medical marijuana dispensary called Herbal Elements in Eaglevale. It was debuted in a Montana smokehouse event. We're looking forward to using the Zazz machine easily to track all the inventory. Herbal Elements' Greg Honan told CDVR. There's no room for theft by patients or employees. See, ooh, these guys are thinking ahead.
Yeah.
No one's going to be pinching these. All the theft will occur before it gets into the machine for sure. There's no way to lose track of the inventory. So you think. Because obviously, if I'm the guy packing the vending machine, everyone's getting slightly less than they should in their bag.
Obviously, the guys that invented this vending machine are normies. Because they're not thinking like addicts.
Clearly. While Medbox marijuana dispensing machines in California are behind sales counters, customers can directly access Zazz without waiting in lines. Your identity, you have to put a thing in it. Your identity is confirmed against active biometrics. Okay, they swipe their driver's license to identify themselves. He does not think the concept will become mainstream for recreational use now or ever. It's simply meant to enhance legal sales facilities in ensuring that controlled substances, so far as we can control at the time of sale, are dispensed solely into the hands of those who are supposed to have them legally.
No, wait a minute.
Isn't there anybody over 21?
Can you imagine when one of these is out on the street? First dope smoker with a sledgehammer is going to be doing good.
In Colorado, though, it's legal recreationally now.
I know. That's what I was wondering about, because you should be able to get it for any reason.
How long before the first guy hooks the chain up to his bumper and to the thing, and you see the bumpers laying out of the sidewalk?
Yes.
Boom. That was a bad idea. Dude! That sucked.
Key West.
Florida.
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 A mother of two from Sugar Land is in a Florida jail cell after a family vacation that recently spun out of control.
Is this a Fran story?
I love that.
It's a Fran story.
I love that band.
Suzanne Simon was arrested on suspicion of felony child neglect. Police say the 38-year-old environmental engineer smelled of booze and slurred her words when she was taken into custody. According to reports, Simon kicked a 12-year-old boy out of the car on popular Duval Street without any shoes.
Why?
She did so, allegedly, because the boy was reading the GPS incorrectly. Report also states that Simon sent an 8-year-old girl out of the car in search of more beer.
Well, that's responsible.
Police haven't officially identified Simon as the mother of the children. However, those who know Simon confirm the kids belong to her.
Not for long.
I'm nervous. Where are the kids? I want to know where the kids are. Did she just leave them on the street and walk off? Was questioned by Simon's friend, Mary Lou.
Mary Lou again? Is this the same Mary Lou?
No, I don't know. It's not Mary Lou Parker. It's just Mary Lou. Hello, Mary Lou.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, kids.
Sweet Mary Lou, I'm so in love with you.
Let's see. Mary Lou says the father of both kids died in a motorcycle accident years ago. She didn't know why Simon had gone on vacation, but claims she called her a couple of weeks ago and said she was lonely. She goes, besides, what was she doing over there? Those kids were supposed to be in school. If you find the kids, bring them to me. I'll take care of them. Those kids are real sweet. The little girl reportedly told police that she found a beer on the sidewalk and brought it to Simon. The investigating officer alleges Simon smacked the girl in the forehead at one point, leaving a red mark. I can't believe Suzanne would do something like that. That's not Suzanne, added Mary Lou, but of course she was drinking.
You know how that goes when you're drinking.
A 12-year-old boy was picked up by two strangers and brought back to his hotel, where he was found playing video games, and the cops went there.
And drinking.
That's a 12-year-old boy for you.
Drinking a beer.
Simon told an officer he should put the boy in juvenile detention as a runaway. Wow, this woman got some serious problems.
So I'm sitting there and play the video games.
I think that's what we call a break with reality, assisted by alcohol.
Another woman who knows this woman, Simon, Courtney Maris, says, knowing that she kicked him out of the car in the middle of Key West, Florida, I think that's insane. Courtney Maris's ex-husband went on to marry Simon. That marriage, too, ended in divorce. Is this starting to sound a little Jerry Springer-ish to you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Courtney Maris also says she has had a tumultuous relationship with Simon along the way.
There's going to be chairs flying at that Jerry Springer show.
She goes, attempts to reach other people in her family were unsuccessful.
Yeah, nobody's talking to her.
I'm not talking to her.
She's currently locked up at the Stock Island Jail on $5,000 bond. Authorities have not released information about where the children are. Have you checked
children? They're with Mary Lou. Remember, Mary Lou said she wanted them.
Hello, Mary Lou. Hello, kids. Mary Lou's your new mom today. And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
Oh, at SelfWillHappens.com.
.com. Sweet. So we have a topic, Shelley, and you know what it is.
You came up with it.
Yes, I did. It's loosely called, What the Hell's Going On Next Door? And
how did this come up? Like, I don't know.
What I'm wondering, and this is because of our next door neighbors, is there ever an appropriate point, or at what point do we not offer assistance to people who are obviously in distress? We've got a couple that lives next door. They have a teenage boy and a couple of dogs, and they regularly have domestic arguments, very loud ones. We called the cops once, actually, a couple weeks ago, because I thought she was getting murdered.
She was getting killed.
Because she was screaming and there was crockery crashing, just like it says in the book.
Somebody drank her morning beer?
Apparently. But there have been quite a few times when I've come home from work in the afternoon and they're having a screaming match over how much she had to drink before noon.
And it's always about drinking.
Yeah, it's always about drinking and always about her drinking problems.
This
and then,
guy needs Al-Anon.
And then he will stomp out, and then he'll come back, and then there's more things flying around. I have never actually gone over and, like, dropped my card or offered any help. Or I mean, do I? What do I do?
Leave literature on the door?
Yeah. Is there and just in daily life, I mean, you know, it's happened to me multiple times at work where I don't know if I've got an invisible sign on my forehead or whatever where somebody will come up and say, I heard somebody knows where the classes are. And when people say that, the classes, I know they're talking about an AA.
Wink, wink.
Or CA or whatever. You know, so how do you approach that? You know.
Well, it's certainly different if someone comes up and asks you.
Yeah, if they ask, that's different.
What if somebody doesn't ask? What do you think, Mark? They're not asking for help. It's clear they could use help.
I mean, the traditions say attraction rather than promotion.
Right.
So what's the path? What do we take, oh guru at 29 years?
Look, senior member.
I have no freaking idea. How's that? But,
who's the lead-out music?
But what I've been told is if everybody who needed this program showed up, we'd be having these meetings, these classes, in football stadiums.
True.
Instead, we could have them in little tiny classrooms with extra seats available for the most part.
That's true.
So, I mean, there's things people need to do. I feel bad when people do that. I don't know if, you know, if I would say something, perhaps to him. You know, Bruce said it best. He needs Al-Anon because he has to learn how to cope with it. You know, if you're going to be of service to her, go make friends with her. Just don't start drinking with her.
No. Well, I mean, I've said hi, and she's really standoffish, though. I've said hi, and, like, you know, a few times when I've walked the dog past or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she says, hey, and then immediately runs back in the house.
Walk by, say good morning, hand her a couple of Excedrin. That would always be my friend when I was drinking, if somebody showed up with a couple of Excedrin.
Say, why don't you nice go over there with the four-pack of Bartles and James. Go, here you go.
Yeah, Bloody Mary.
I heard you could use this.
Well, the thing is, certainly it depends on the criteria of what's going on. Because, like Mark said, I mean, you know what? You could, depending on what time of year it was, if it was a holiday or something, you could go over and take something holiday-esque to them or something like that. You know, let's say it's Christmas and you take them some cookies or something. And, you know, just that kind of interaction with them, try and get them to talk to you a few times and see.
Dead guy on a cross?
Wow.
That's not Christmas.
No.
It's Easter.
Time of year.
Wow. but you know what I'm saying. It's like, you know, like I've talked to the guy a couple times when he's taken the dogs in. But the thing is, it's knowing how and when to be able to even broach the subject. Because as we know, most people don't want you to know they're having a bunch of problems at their house. Whether or not everyone can hear them because they're arguing,
yeah, they do it
probably don't want to advertise it, even though, in effect, they are advertising it. So it may be, you know, it may be the kind of thing where you don't talk to them. You know, I mean, it's difficult. It's,
so is this the anatomy of a 12-step call?
Well, because, usually...
The criteria.
Yeah, because usually, for instance, I was at the club one time, the local AA club, and I get a call from a guy. And he says, I really need to talk to someone. And I did not have a lot of time. I don't even know how much time I had, but I had like 3 or 4 months. And this guy's like, I need help. I need someone to come and talk to me. And his name was Pat. And I'm in the middle of the club, and there's all these old-timers sitting in there, like, watching TV or playing dominoes or something. And I mean, like, the heavy hitters, Harvey with 50 years, and, you know, Big Book Mac and all these guys. I said, hey, there's this guy. He really needs someone to talk to him. And apparently he lives, like, one street over. And I hear this guy, Harvey, goes, is his name Pat? And I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, he doesn't need any help. And, you know, but this guy is telling me he needs help, right? So I say, you know what? I'm going to go over. I go over to this guy's house. He's there. He's hammered. And as I'm talking to him, he's like, I'm not going to go over that AA shit. You know, I've been over there before. They're of no help. And I'm like, well, Pat, you did call over there to see if you could get some help.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he's sitting there, and he's telling me some wild effing stories. I used to work for the CIA, and, you know, the kind of bullshit alcoholic stories you hear.
Sure.
And there's a chessboard on the table. I said, I'll tell you what, Pat. I play you a game of chess. You lose, you go to the meeting with me. You win, I'll sit here and listen to you drivel on for a while. We go. He's drunk. You know, I'm an okay chess player, pretty good. And he's drunk. I four-move checkmate him.
Yep.
I say, time to go to the meeting. He says, best two out of three. I four-move checkmate him again. Same exact checkmate, but the exact same. It's like, really?
You didn't catch this the first time?
Yeah, you didn't notice this the first. Do it to him again. He goes to the meeting with. Only went one time. Never saw him again. His wife used to go over there. But you know what? That was an example where someone called for help. When they don't call for help is different. You know, I had a brother who got loaded for a long time, and he used to come to me every once in a while, and he certainly didn't want to say he was an addict or alcoholic to me. I know he didn't. Mm-hmm. And A, I'm his younger brother, and I've got time by this time, you know, and he doesn't want to be the new guy. But he would tell me, you know, I have a friend, and you know, he does like speed and stuff. You think if he continues to do speed, he'll be an addict? And I'm like, probably.
Yes.
I mean, if he's not already, he probably will be. And he'd be like, oh. But you know what? I couldn't make him go. No. And he went one time to see me take a cake. And all my friends were talking to him.
I was there.
And he tells me after the meeting, he goes, I can't believe how nice everybody is here. Because, you know, he had whatever preconceived notions he had about going to meetings. He goes, I can't believe. He goes, you know what was interesting? And I go, what? He goes, like your one friend who turned out to be Fausto. He goes, hey, how are you doing? And I started to answer him, and he was just listening. It wasn't like, hey, how are you doing? And then going and talking to someone else, because that's what he's used to. Yeah. Someone said, hey, how are you doing? And then they waited for him to respond and tell him how he was doing. I go, yeah, that's the way people around here are.
Unfortunately, he passed away about a month later.
Yeah. Oh, not even a month.
No, it was a couple weeks because it was your birthday, yeah.
Not even 2 weeks.
It was like a week and a half or something.
Nine days.
Yep.
9 days.
I remember.
9 days after that. So how about you, Mark?
How about
me? Neighbors got stuff going on. You can clearly hear it. Do you intervene or do you not?
You know, I don't. I really don't. I just... It's hard because, first of all, I don't have people around me who are like going into obvious alcohol issues like within shouting distance of my house like you have going on.
Right.
You know,
what if you did, though?
I got the guys who are hanging out in their garage from 8 at night until 1 o'clock in the morning, walking down to the cars that, you know, drive by for 15 seconds and... You know, that's going
on. Just stop by to say hi.
That's going on a few blocks away. And
let me shake your hand. Now let me shake your hand again.
Yeah, so I kind of see that all going on. But, you know, it's not up to me to decide when somebody needs help. It's absolutely up to them. I see too many people in the program today that they haven't decided they need help. Somebody else has decided it for them.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that doesn't end well.
You've got, you know, we said it earlier, you have to want your sobriety more than I do. And if you don't, and when you want it, we'll be here. You know, we're here when you're ready if you get here.
True.
But our default position is loaded. That's where we go to. That's, you know, when we hit the factory reset on ourselves, we're high.
Yeah.
Or drunk.
Right.
It's just what we are. So I don't expect anything different from people around than to be loaded. You know, the 5% are the exception.
Well, what I did something recently. It's not a 12-step call or anything like that, but my church has something called a Stephen Ministry, which is basically they trained like half a dozen people in the church, our older members in the church, in basic counseling techniques and how to find various agencies or counselors or whatever for people that come to them with problems, any kind of problems, financial, marriage problems, problems with whatever. And they didn't have anybody. You know, I'm looking at all of these people that signed up for Stephen Ministry, and I'm looking at them all go, and I thought, not one of them is an alcoholic or an addict. Because, you know, we sort of gravitate toward each other.
We know who we are.
Yeah. So after church that day, I gave the pastor one of my cards. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, if this problem comes up, and I explained to him, you know, my story. Mm-hmm. And I said, if this problem comes up and they want somebody to talk to, you're welcome to give them my number. And I left it at that. And he asked me last Sunday, did you get a phone call? And I said, no, not yet. Am I supposed to? And he said, well, I think you will. It might take a few weeks because the person isn't sure. And, you know, the Stephen ministers keep everything extremely anonymous. You know, they don't tell anybody. So it has to come from that person. So, I mean, I felt good about having done that. And I feel like that was appropriate. But when it comes to other things, it's just, you know, I used to be, when I first got sober, I was really, really protective of my, you know, I didn't want anybody to know I was in the program. And that sort of ended abruptly. And I was ticked about it for a while, but now I'm very open about it because I feel like if other people know and they have a problem or somebody comes to them or whatever, they'll know who to talk to. Oh, wait, I might know somebody you can talk to. But when it comes to things like my next door neighbor and I know what's going on, I almost feel like a mandated reporter, like I should be doing something, but it's supposed to be attraction rather than promotion, and God will get everybody to their bottom in his own time, and I'm not God.
Put literature over there.
I should start flogging it over the fence. Yeah. Just with a catapult. Yep.
The pamphlets make excellent paper airplanes.
Well, and I used to. I haven't done this in a while, but I used to put meeting directories mm-hmm. in the stacks, and people would take
them. Like around the books on alcoholism.
Yeah, and people would take them.
Sure.
Well, when I worked at a rather large corporation called Earthlink, and we had quite a lot of people, like maybe 2,000 or 3,000 people in Pasadena, and I used to do 12-step calls that weren't really 12-step calls. Like I would hear guys, because I was all about in there, and I would hear guys, these younger guys talking about partying and everything. So we'd go out on break, and they'd be talking about partying, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when it was like that. And then I'd be like sharing some of my stories my stories are always when it went bad.
Yeah.
And then it would never fail. A couple weeks later, this guy called me up, hey, can you go over to my desk for a minute? And I'd go over to his little cubicle and he'd be like, you know, you were talking about, you know, I used to be really bad, you know, when it's getting low. What did you do? Because it looked, you know, you look great. And, you know, and then you tell him. I was sitting there one time, and this has happened actually in a couple of different instances where I'm at work. Will a friend of Bill W. please call extension 345? You know, you call it up, and they're like, I knew someone would call. And I'm like, all right. I've heard that at an airport, too. I went to go use the blue phone or the white phone, and someone had already gotten through to the call. And that time we were on the cruise ship, there was a friend of Bill W. And the funny thing is, I go on this cruise ship, and they have meetings on the cruise ship, right?
Yeah.
So I go to the meeting room. Sat there for 45 minutes. Not a single person showed up. Turned around and left.
Yep. You were there.
I was. So, Shelley, what would your final words on what's up with the neighbors be?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have any words of wisdom on the subject. It bugs me that I shouldn't do anything. And
which
I wish
makes you feel kind of guilty?
Yeah, it makes me feel kind of guilty, and that's on me. I need to deal with that. All I can do is be the book. I'm a representative. What do they say? Let it begin with me.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what are your final words?
Good fences make good neighbors. No, I don't.
Brick walls.
Yeah. soundproof walls would be best.
Yeah, we have a chain link fence.
I think it's just we have to turn it over to a higher power and figure that God knows best.
I just had a mental picture of myself as Mrs. Kravitz. You said good fences make good neighbors. Abner, you got to see what's going on now.
My my feeling on it is that I usually wouldn't do anything unless they asked for it. But I understand Shelley's position as well. It's kind of horrible to watch people floundering in alcoholism when you know that you have a solution that would work for them if they only worked it.
Yep.
So, Shelley, who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities. Like our friend in the Inland Empire, if you want to read the Southern California Inland Empire edition, you can go to 12stepgazette.com/IE.
Awesome, Mark. Convention!
Come to the convention.
Sin City, baby.
Yep.
Come to the convention, man.
What happens at the convention ends up at coffee.
That's right.
It ends up on the show.
That's right.
It ends up on the show.
July 18th to 20th at the South Point Hotel in Las Vegas. They would like reservations in by the end of June. We will have all that information up for you very soon, if we don't already. I mean, you've heard it from us long enough. It's time to start letting us know you're coming, because based upon how many people we have coming will really help us base what kind of events we're going to do while we're there.
Yes.
So we'd rather not guess, so if you could let us know here over the next couple weeks.
Everybody has got to understand.
Up. Katie, what night are you coming in?
Everyone has got to understand this is the first time we're doing this.
Yeah.
We don't know if a bunch of people will come, if five people will come, and the problem is it's really hard to – it's not like when we plan a convention and we've been on convention planning committees together before where we look at what happened last year and we can judge it because we can't judge that. So we really need to know what's coming.
Yeah, other conventions, when we do regular conventions for 12-step programs, we know a couple hundred people or so are going to show up.
No matter what.
Yeah, and so we know that.
We're probably going to invite people to be able to come from the local Alano clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like you buy a convention package to this.
Well, there's some costs that are going to be involved with this thing, so we're just going to kind of, we'd like to see who's showing up so we can defray those.
Yes.
You know, we've got room rentals and stuff like that. But we'll figure out what we can do as far as getting the package involved. My guess is we're going to get in there on Friday.
Is the side trip to the chicken ranch hooked up yet?
Only if you really want chickens.
The day trip?
Yeah.
To the Mustang Ranch?
Yeah, right. No, but I would think that Saturday we're going to have something going on all day and into the night. And just have some time to fellowship and spend some time together and swap stories and
record some shows,
and which is like hanging out and spending time together and swapping some stories. We'll do some of that with the microphones on.
I think we should have a non-specific program speaker meeting.
Sure.
Where all three of us speak.
They've already heard us speak.
Yeah.
Why don't we get somebody interesting?
No. You know what? Somebody just said on a show on a comment the other day, "Wow, I'd really like to hear Shelley speak."
I've heard Shelley speak.
Shelley's a great speaker.
Shelley's a great speaker.
Great speaker.
As Shelley's share first in a meeting the other night.
Oh, yeah, I got hogtied into that one.
Well, see, anytime somebody asks me to lead a meeting that you're at, because I know your criteria for sharing in a meeting. God has put me there to make sure you share.
Yes, I only share if I'm called on, usually.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I was very quiet that night. I did not jump the gun on anybody. I was ready to, and I said, you know what? They got to share more than I do. So, people listen to the show.
Yeah, they do. If they're listening to the show, they know to let us know they're coming to the convention.
I think we're coming up soon on 9 million downloads. Pretty soon.
That's serious stuff. Our bandwidth is going to exceed.
Well, we go through a lot of bandwidth.
I know we do.
Terabytes.
Yep. So.
And when it's 10 megs a show,
yeah.
To go through terabytes is a lot of shows.
Yeah. So anyway, however you listen to the show, we appreciate it. We ask that you go to recovery101.net, which is our site, and do all the stuff we ask you to do at the end of every show, which is click on a show, join Podomatic, like, comment, leave show topics, add to playlists. Thank you.
I'm pretty darn sure if when you're at the first page where you see all the shows listed, if you look over to the right where it says followers, if you hit become a follower, I do believe it lets you become a follower, because I keep noticing in our followers, new followers that seem to be people that already follow. And, well, not just you.
Yeah.
A number of them.
I become a new follower about every 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery Radio Show fan page and banter about on there. We put show links and pictures and cool stuff up there. If you want to be more anonymous, you can join the Recovery 101 group. If you look up Recovery 101 and you see one that's got a little icon of a little tree next to it, that's the one. It is a closed group, so you need to ask to be a member, and you can banter about with people in the that you see that send in boozy news and stuff like that, and a couple of the hosts, and have a good time there. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Do not. Shelly, who's the lead on music by?
Looking for Trouble.
Looking for Trouble. April Snow and the Boys. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Somebody new. You've got